Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Distraction Pieces episode 283, and this is a little cheeky bonus episode for you here. We'll get into it. I won't chat too much because you've already had the amazing Sarah Pascoe podcast earlier this week, and you've got Joe Gilgan next week. But myself, Stu Whiffin and Adam Richardson sat down and had a chat about a few things that we've got coming up that we wanted to share with you, and we hope to see you at. So yeah, without any more rambling, this is episode 283 of the Distraction Pieces podcast. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. I'm joined today by Stuart Whiffin and Adam Richardson. I was tempted to call you Adam Richards then, Adam, just because of the mix-up with Matt Richards, who I called Matt Richardson, and I've put the blame on you.
I'll take the blame. Yeah, that's fine.
How you doing, guys?
I'm all right.
Very good, thank you.
It's been a busy morning today, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're recording this on the London launch day of issue 4 of the Pod Bible, and we've been handing out at Liverpool Street and London Bridge. It's been pretty exciting, right?
It's been a successful morning so far. We've managed to hand out a lot of issue 4.
Yep.
And once we've finished recording here, we're going to sort of split up and we're off to distribute across London plenty more copies, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, probably of no interest to any of the listeners.
Yeah, but just sort of throw it out.
Our logistics. how noticeable has the change in my mood been since Acast added an office dog, so that I know that after we've handed out, I get to come and play with a dog? It's palpable, isn't it?
So I can really point out just how much of an effect Neville the sausage dog has had on Pip. So
I know what you're going to say.
Neville's the office dog, and it's the cutest. It's a long-haired dash hand, I believe.
Yes, I think so.
And we'd left the office, and we'd been walking around East London, and then we turned a corner, and two of our friends from Acast were standing there with Neville.
With Neville, ooh.
And Pip went, "Oh, look, there's Neville."
I didn't notice. I didn't notice the people that we work with regularly. I was like, "Oh, look, is that Neville?" And she was like, "Yeah, there's Lizzie."
I'm sure they're used to it.
Yeah, it's a hell of a dog.
Yeah.
So, Adam,
yeah,
this is your kind of introduction on the Distraction Pieces podcast, isn't it? Because he's been on loads.
Yes, yeah, my
this
debut.
This is your first visit.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Which is exciting because I listen to your podcast all the time, which is one of the things that we're going to talk about. Hardest part of the ring. I've become an avid listener, arguing my own points silently in a corner, occasionally tweeting. Originally, I'd text you to say, "Oh, you should check this out. I didn't agree with this."
Yeah.
Now I've started to actually tweet the actual Hardest Part of the Ring on social media. So I'm fully on board.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it is very funny when, originally when I was getting the text through, I used to forward them on to the guys.
Yeah.
But now you tweet us, they get to see it.
Yeah.
And yeah, a couple of them, it kind of blows their mind that you are listening and actually think it's any good.
It's great. So to explain, it's a wrestling podcast and you guys set it up as four mates. And again, the easiest thing I had to compare it, I wrote about it in one of the Pod Bibles, is comparing it to the booming football podcasts that fans talking and mates talking, rather than just experts, or sometimes rather than people who have any deep knowledge at all.
Yeah, exactly.
it's just four mates talking about wrestling, and then you do quizzes on there and reviews of shows. And I think it's a really good balance because you don't all have the same opinion and the same views. And
The inspiration was a football podcast. So the Football Ramble, obviously, is a big one that we've spoken about on Pod Bible. And they're doing big, big things at the moment, really successful. But they started off as four of them in a mate's kitchen. None of them are experts. None of them are proper journalists.
Yeah.
It's just they're talking about what they're passionate about. They're very aware that they're kind of casual fans. And we just thought, we used to talk about wrestling all the time. And I'm sure you've got groups, WhatsApp groups whatever, where you're always talking about things, slagging things off or promoting things. And we just thought, should we just give it a go? And we did. And it's been going since the end of 2017. And it's just been getting bigger and bigger. And Yeah, you wrote about it for Pod Bible, but I haven't put it in yet because it feels a bit weird.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not comfortable yet?
No, I don't really want to put it in there, but...
It'll make it in.
Eventually.
So a previous episode of Distraction Pieces, I did a Why I Love Wrestling episode, and it was with Sam Get Cape, Russell from Block Party, and my mate Stu Tell. And me, Stu, and Russell have got a wrestling WhatsApp group. It's not because we don't like Sam, it's because he's not on WhatsApp. We love Sam, but he's not. And there was a period where we dubbed Rusty Cornette because he just seemed to hate everything WWE for a period. We've got our little nicknames, and it's a weird world because it does become so nerdy. But again, I spoke on that podcast, me and my mate Stu, I've known Stu Tell for years and years, I love him dearly, but we're closer now than we've ever been because we watch a lot of wrestling each week, so we've got a lot to catch up on and talk about. And it means that we genuinely will talk every week because there's always something that's happened.
Yeah.
And often it will be multiple times a week. So it's weird how something that's seemingly as silly as wrestling can have that impact on friendships.
It can also totally exclude people, as Stu Whiffen has found out on
Sorry, I'm just dropping off there.
As he's sitting inside. Oh, we've had on numerous Pod Bible days when they've come after a big event, there'll be a little 10-20 minute period where me and Adam will talk and Stu will sit in silence.
Yeah.
Feels like a lifetime.
But then I get that when you guys talk UFC, so...
I was going to say that's exactly the same on UFC as well. We will always have a catch-up about a UFC event.
Always.
Like, we'll normally put it under the guise of needing a business phone call.
Yeah.
But often we'll talk for 2 minutes about a Pod Bible thing and then have a 20-minute catch-up about the UFC.
A breakdown of every fight,
So it feels like we're doing work. But I should explain really briefly what Pod Bible is, because we've not really mentioned that. It's a podcast magazine that Stu came to me with the idea about, and then we spoke to Adam, and the three of us have then created it. And it's kind of been a crazy year. In fact, we'll talk more about that at the end, because what we mainly want to talk about in this episode is the Pod and Mix live shows, which we're really excited about. So Pod Bible are working with the London Podcast Festival at King's Place on some... it was an idea
on the Acast stage, isn't it?
On the Acast stage, for some live shows that we want to do more as Pod Bible when we can, and they're called Pod and Mix. And the idea is that we take two podcasts that we like and we smash them together. And the excitement there is you bring in two audiences together who might not listen to each other's or the opposition podcast. But you're also giving the audience who are a fan of, for example, one of them's Hardcore Listing and the Birthday Girls House Party.
Yeah.
You might have people who listen to Hardcore Listing and have been to numerous Hardcore Listing shows.
But they never come back.
Yeah. But this isn't going to be what a typical Hardcore Listing show is. Similarly with the Birthday Girls, it's not what a typical Birthday Girls show. So it's a really good way to make a unique version or a unique event for both audiences, I guess.
Completely. You know, Chris and I see it as an opportunity for us to sort of put on something that is actually going to be 50% good.
Yeah, because it's going to be a level of professionalism forced
exactly.
upon it.
It's not just going to be our mindless drivel. We're going to be on stage with Camille and B.T. Edmondson, two actual comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
straight up comedians. It's like...
And sketch comics as well, and improvisers and all that kind of thing. It's a proper, right. They know what they're doing.
You're going to get some actual comedy. we're going to try our best not to mess everything up, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We was really lucky that Adam and I sat down for the Pod Bible podcast, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. We sat down with all three girls from Birthday Girls House Party, and they're an absolute blast, weren't they?
Yeah, they were so funny.
Yeah.
They were so funny. It was really hard to keep a straight face during that one.
And I think when we spoke about doing like the concept of a podcast mashup for what, you know, what become Pod and Mix, then we were just sort of thinking, right, who could tolerate Chris and I? Like, who's actually going to want to share a stage with us? And it was like,
no one, but
okay, right. We're going to have to sort of make some phone calls and see if we can get around. But no, in all honesty, it was like straight away. It was like they'd be good fun, wouldn't they? And it was like, yeah, that would really work.
Genuinely, and this isn't an insult, but but it's picking people who will be comfortable with the mayhem of it as well. Because again, it's not the way you guys do your live shows. It's not always strictly professional and measured and planned and, you know.
Zero format.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt like these girls were the perfect people to throw into that. And the plan is to do essentially a top five elements of what you need to make a great house party.
Yeah.
Which, again, how enjoyable is that? Because everyone's going to have their opinions of what makes a great house party. For me, it's a strong lock on your door.
No one else there.
Curtains.
Yeah.
Make sure no one thinks you're in.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You're at this party on your own, right?
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Every day's a house party at Pip's house.
Yeah,
solo house party.
Strong Wi-Fi for either the WWE Network or UFC Fight Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Just to clarify, you ain't invited to this one.
And some good takeaway options. That's my top fives for a house party, but for those others will be different.
For those that are interested in coming, then we won't be inviting Pip, but Chris has informed me that Craig is coming.
Yeah.
So for those that are unaware of Craig Gleason, I would suggest maybe a few drunk casts might refresh your mind of...
Yeah.
Who Craig Gleason is, and he's coming.
But that's exciting because it's going to... The fear can sometimes be that a live podcast might be a bit dry, and that's not... Again, the combination of these two, that's just not the case.
Yeah.
The girls are so much fun and entertainment, and you guys are going to be...
Idiots.
...as messy as ever, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We should say it's September the 7th.
Yep.
It's 4:30... No, 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yep.
And it's part of the London Podcast Festival. So what we would say as well is if you're about, then there's plenty else going on that day, I think.
All the listings are on the King's Place website, aren't they? And there's some amazing stuff. Adam Buxton is returning to live. I think it's his first time he's doing a live. Oh, no, he did a few at festivals, but he's doing a live one there. So there's some amazing stuff.
Yep.
So you're on September 7th, and on September 8th is the hardest part of the draw.
Yeah.
Where... the hardest part of the ring are combining with the jewel of the Distraction Pieces podcast, Crown Tuesday Night Jaw, and you're having a good old wrestling quiz.
We are, yeah. Yeah, some of the most popular episodes of our podcast have been our quizzes.
Yeah.
Which we tend to do every sort of 3 months or so, and we write them ourselves, and it's sort of just a pub quiz style, but maybe a bit more silly and stupid quiz. So we tend to have a mix of sort of general knowledge questions, but then we go to the silly stuff. We've got audio rounds, we've got all sorts of stuff, and they have been really popular. So I think you suggested actually why not do the quiz?
Yeah, because again, they're the ones I'd really enjoyed the most. I listened to a few, and it was that. Do you remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire blew up?
Yeah.
And there was kind of the most obvious thing that they kept saying on. It's easy if you know the answer.
Yeah,
and that's what it feels like with the hardest part of the ring questions. I think I'm a real wrestling nerd. I know this. There'll be some rounds I'm not knowing anything at all. Other rounds that you guys are getting stuck and I'm like, call yourself a wrestling fan. That's the easiest
worst.
Answer ever. And it's just so
weird. Was that an impression of Chris Tarrant?
It's quite good, actually.
But yeah, it's exactly that because it's so weird because it is, particularly in some, I like wrestling, you can be an absolute nerd. But that's a nerd in what you happen to be exposed to and at what age you happen to be exposed to that, all that kind of thing.
There's so many
variations that can blow that out of the water.
Yeah, there's so much to know. There's obviously so many different eras, so many different promotions. Like one of the consistent things that we say on our podcast is how hard it is to keep up with all the wrestling that's going on at the moment.
Yeah,
and then there's decades of history to try and remember as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's always quite embarrassing when we do our quizzes how little we do tend to remember. And you just sit there and you think, God, this is a wrestling podcast and we just don't know anything. But we like to think that's part of the charm now. But the good thing about this is obviously it's hardest part of the ring and Tuesday Night Jaw.
Yeah.
So we're getting to put together the quiz, but we don't have to answer any of the questions.
You don't have to have... You get to be the smug quiz masters.
Yeah.
Going, yes,
exactly.
This is... Oh, you don't know that.
And we're dealing with professionals here, okay?
Yeah.
So there's people who work in the wrestling industry. There might be even some wrestlers involved.
It's exciting because the people that Matt is trying to line up are some of the biggest names in British wrestling, some of them known for their intense wrestling knowledge, some the complete opposite. So, I mean, we won't name any names because it's still all being confirmed.
Yeah,
but
of course.
just, I mean, every suggestion that's come forward has been someone that I've been like, oh my God, if you can get them, that'd be amazing. It's like, and if I can't get them, I'll get them. You're like, oh my God, you can get them. It's, so it feels like it's going to be, or just a lot of fun, because you also, you guys have always done your podcast and the quizzes in separate rooms.
Yeah.
All linked up over Skype and things like that. So it's been so the opposite of a live audience.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That live contestants as such. So it just, it feels incredibly exciting for what, how mad that's going to be.
It's going to be totally different. But yeah, really exciting. I think, I mean, I've got a little bit of experience. When I was at university, I used to run the Students' Union quiz night every Thursday.
Yes.
Started off only two or three people coming. The Students' Union manager used to give me a sheet of questions printed off from the internet, really dry. I started writing the quiz myself. Didn't get paid for it during the week. Used to put together music rounds and all this stuff. Ended up getting quite a big following. So,
amazing.
Why am I piling pressure on myself?
Yeah, you're doing it now.
So, yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
But that's it. If people haven't heard the podcast, the quizzes are a nice, easy place to jump in. Because the problem with, like, some of the most popular episodes of Tuesday Night Jura are the round tables where they're reviewing a recent event, but that does have a time limit on it.
Yeah.
And unless it's one of the iconic events in wrestling history, a month or so on, you're like, I don't need to go and listen to like that. That happened a month ago. There's been 500 shows since then because of all the different promotions. But the quizzes are evergreen in that way because they are from the history of wrestling, I
exactly,
guess.
Yeah. The questions don't tend to get out of date. So, yeah, they are really popular episodes, so definitely check them out.
Are you guys excited to bring your spreadsheet skills live in front of an audience? Because the spreadsheeting is one of the most impressive things on the, I'm always hearing that, you know, the scores are updating immediately and everything's really, you're big on your spreadsheets and your admin, so.
Yeah, admin is a big part of our, I mean, if you're not into wrestling but you enjoy admin and organisation, then definitely give Hardest Part of the Day a listen, because we have a huge folder full of different documents and spreadsheets. All the scores will be updated live. We're speaking to King's Place about how many different screens we can have set up, you know, and if they've got the technological capabilities to run three or four spreadsheets at once. Because, you know, they might not. But, yeah.
That's been the best thing, is being CC'd in on the tech spec discussions between you and the live venue. Again, you've got to remember, I'm used to years of touring, so seeing discussions between the live venue being... how much alcohol are we allowed on stage? how bright are the lights? How is there a cut off on the decibel meter and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So if we wanted to run a spreadsheet each, do you have the capabilities?
Do you have Excel? Or are we going to be using Google Drive?
It's beautiful. Well, as said, that's on September 8th, and it's 2 p.m, right?
2 p.m.
On the Sunday.
Yeah, very nice. So it's on a Sunday. It is a school night, but... 2 p.m., finish at about 3, 3.30, loads of time to get a train back to anywhere.
Yes.
So come on down.
So that's exciting. And then another thing that we want to talk about, of course, is the exciting launch of the Pod Bible podcast, which is the podcast where podcasters talk to podcasters about podcasts and podcasting, right?
Not bad, mate. No script. I needed a script to
you
do that.
You had to have that written down. I love it on the trailer episode is the two of you are speaking freely and then you can hear Stu's eyes focus on what's written in front of him to get the scripted bit right. But that's exciting, right? So it is exactly as said there, but it's a weekly podcast to kind of... Because one of the reasons that we started Pod Bible magazine was where do you find out about new podcasts? And one of the things I get tagged in the most on Twitter is... just people tweeting saying, can anyone recommend a podcast? Mm-hmm. And people are always nice enough to recommend mine. But that's kind of the point of the Pod Bible podcast, right? To be a 20 to 30 minute, the way I've been describing it is as a supplement rather than meal replacement of your weekly podcast diet. So you can just add it in there and go, here we go. Here's some stuff I might want to listen to. And you guys, I mean, all three of us have done bits, but it's more... You guys have recorded a lot more than me so far. And it's talking to podcasters about their podcast, but then getting them to recommend podcasts that they love and say why they love it and what's great about it.
Yeah, and then once we've got that, so say for instance we sit down with, I mean we've sat down with Dan from No Such Thing as a Fish, and then he will talk about his podcast, and then he'll also recommend two that he listens to. So once we've got that bit of audio, we then get that chopped up.
Yeah.
So we send it off to the wonderful Buddy Peace, and so each episode when it actually comes out, which you're going to find out about very soon, there will be one guest, say for instance Dan talking about No Such Thing as Fish. Ad, who's on the first one? So it's Dan talking about No Such Thing as Fish. Then it cuts straight to
Kate Thornton
recommending.
Don't give spoilers.
Yeah.
And I mean, then it's not that I don't remember.
Recommending
so
a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We've got
and then Birthday Girls.
Yeah, so
people get a chance to hear how funny they are.
Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, each episode's going to have sort of three guests on. And and as Pip said, going to try and sort of keep it to under 30 minutes, so it's nice and bite-sized and don't use up too much space in your listening device.
And each of those guests will then appear on three different podcasts. Mm. So a couple of months down the line, you've heard Dan Schreiber talking about No Such Thing as Fish. A couple of months later, you'll hear him talking about a podcast that he likes.
Yeah, and again, the people from, you know, Russell Tovey to Johnny Vaughan had recorded one with the other day.
Jenny Faulkner,
just huge names.
Yeah.
All across.
Yeah.
Carriad. Yeah.
Jamie East.
The Pappy's lads. Jamie East. Yeah.
It's been amazing. We've managed to sort of sit down with the cream of the podcast world, the Football Ramble lot.
Yeah.
Totally Football.
A Women Solving Crime.
Yeah.
So many good people.
Yeah.
There's some cracking stuff to come out. We're super. I mean, we recorded a lot of them sort of a few months ago now because we've been sort of editing them. So it's like, we know it's ready to drop now, so it's getting exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been listening back to a few of the conversations, getting them ready for the actual podcast, and so I'd forgotten a lot of it, and they are great. Mm. And in fact, listening to the ones that you two did at Underbelly, those were great as well, listening to them with fresh ears. Yeah. It's exciting, very exciting, and the trailer is out now.
Yeah, so that's all available. I'm not sure when this is dropping, but at least the trailer will be out now on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, everywhere.
Go and subscribe, please.
It might be the first episode or two. But yeah, we really want as many people as possible to subscribe, to share it, to get involved in it. Because as I said, it's my experience is always, if I'm listening to podcasts, I'll be almost home and a podcast will end. And I'll think, oh, I don't really want to start another three-hour Joe Rogan conversation or a quiz, for example, or JR's new format is great, where he's going through a previous event. I don't want to start something new that's I want to listen to in one go and get my teeth into. So that's also where Pod Bible kind of comes in, to go, all right, you've got 20 minutes left. You know, jump in on this and get some recommendations, and it'll finish off your journey or start off your journey.
Mm-hmm. That's
the idea of it all. So let's round things up by talking about how mental a year it's been already for Pod Bible. So as we touched upon, Stu, you came up with the idea. Literally, I mean, Lizzie and Acast were saying earlier, it was only last summer. It was later than that. It was last winter.
November.
It was your idea. Was it your idea, Stu?
It was my idea. I mean, Pip's mentioned that twice already, I'm basking in it already.
Yeah, you should let us know that
he
more
really
often.
He really makes a point of that.
But you make a bigger point of it than me.
Anyway, it was in November last year.
That
you came up with it. And again, anyone who's heard the Drunk Cast will know that we like to shit on each other's ideas.
Always.
And this was one that I was like, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. That's the weirdest conversation we've had, when I said, I've just got this idea. And he was like, that's really good. I'll be happy to work with you on that. And I was like, what? Normally you send some really, smug, smart answer.
Or just some very polite, here's the reasons it won't work. Here's what you've overlooked, Stuart.
And what we should say as well is we already knew Ad, because you was doing the artwork for lots of the Distraction Pieces network podcasts.
Yeah,
and that came about great, because it came about, again, in a polite way, because originally Susie Gage posted a rough artwork for Say Why to Drugs, and you got in touch saying, I could do a lot better than that if you wanted. That's not that great. And Susie was like, I've just had someone offer to do artwork. And I was like, give them a go then. And it worked. And then you did
off the beaten track.
Off the beaten track.
Yeah, Stu, you did that yourself, didn't you, the first one?
And Films to be Buried With, you work on as well, of course.
Yeah. Still doing that each week for Brett. He's sending me headshot photos of all his guests, and I'm like, Brett, that's a low res image. Or Brett, you've chopped off half the head. You need to send me better. But yeah, I was doing a few bits and bobs for the Distraction Pieces Network, and I'm pleased I offered to do that originally, because obviously, when you guys decided you needed somebody to actually do a lot of the design stuff, you thought of me.
Mm. It makes
here we are
such a difference knowing that someone is reliable and can deliver week in, week out and that kind of thing. Because if this had been one of them things where you do we're looking for a graphic designer,
yeah.
You never know if it's going to be someone who can, here's a good thing, or no, because as stupid as it is, a weird example, the drummer I had on tour for all my solo stuff, I auditioned a load of drummers. There were some really cool, flamboyant dudes, and there was this one guy, Paul Glover, who was like a robot. It was like a machine, honestly, it was like a metronome. I was like, I've got to go with him. He's not the most flamboyant or whatever else. He looks fine. I'm not having a go at all. But I know that he can deliver when we're doing, you know, 30-date tour straight into festival season, two, three festivals every weekend. It was that thing of, right, all of them could play the songs, but how many could consistently do it night in, night out and be reliable? And that's what it kind of felt with this. There's loads of people who can put together some graphic design stuff, but we'd already seen because there's week in and week out podcast art that you have to do for these guys. So we already knew that you were organised and reliable as well. I mean, we didn't know quite how organised and reliable, but, you know, that's been all the better.
That's now become a stick you beat me with, but I'm not changing.
No, it's perfect. So, yeah, we launched in February with Spotify and Acast on board.
I mean,
which was mind-blowing from the start, because that's huge.
That was the huge
people to have them say, no, this is a good idea.
Yeah. Mm. It felt crazy. Like, obviously, we all had a pretty nice relationship with Acast anyway. You know, coming in and out of the office for podcasts and whatnot. But then to sort of sign that deal with Spotify, just for me, felt huge. It was so exciting. And then and to sit down with these people, you know, the heavyweights of the world of podcasting, and they're all saying, why has this not been done before?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
It sort of makes you feel, oh, we are onto something here. This is going the right way. And then, you know, once they were on board, it seemed to just make approaching other such businesses and the likes of the BBC,
and Global,
Pixiu, and
Muddy Knees. But I mean, this is all probably exciting for us. But I keep being aware this might not be exciting.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
because it's business talk, and that's one. But the exciting bit after that was when we actually got to put it out there, and we were seeing loads of response online. We were hearing from podcasters who'd advertised or done something that they were seeing a spike in their listenership, and we were seeing that genuine excitement. The fact that we, on all of them, we're standing at train stations for 2, 3, 4 hours handing them out.
Yeah.
And now, like we were saying this morning, there's numerous people who are coming up who've grabbed the last two off of us that station, and they're now, they're excited about the new one.
Yeah.
And that's just, again, it's all good to get the kind of the pat on the back or the verification from big, powerful companies, but that still doesn't mean it's going to work or it's going to be in demand. It could just be that we're convincing in our own excitement of it all.
Yeah.
But what is key, which we say, you know, for anything that we're going to be doing in regards to stages at podcast festivals and obviously right the way back to the magazine, is the whole reason why we started this was initially to offer a platform for podcasts that aren't the big hitters of the world to kind of get some exposure. And so what we do get, as much as we get that kind of, you know, pleasure of knowing that we are getting a pat on the back from the big boys, we're also getting approached constantly by smaller podcasts going, thanks for the shout out, thanks for putting us here. And it's amazing, because you know that, as I said, the whole kind of concept was to give as much column space to the new kids on the block as it is to the, you know, the home guard.
One of the things I found fascinating is not being able to tell who the big hitters are and who they aren't. Because one of the things about podcasts is if you get into a podcast, it becomes a huge part of your life, and you can easily assume, oh, this must be huge. It's the same with bands a lot of the time. You can kind of assume a band's huge, and then they come over from America in their first gig, and you're watching them in front of 100 people, and you're like, all right, I thought this was the Stones, essentially. It's not. It's a, and it's the same with podcasts that we'll see. There's podcasts that we feature that we think are just, oh, it'd be nice to put them in, they're quite small. And then the response is so huge, you're like, oh, they're one of the big guys. We didn't know this.
That's one of the things that we're most proud of is the Oh My Pod section at the back of the magazine, which is, it is for us to feature, it's supposed to be small, amateur, independent podcasts. But part of that is those podcasts sort of submit a tweet saying that they'd like to be involved and give a little sort of summary of their show. And so I go through all of those, and then I go and check out the podcast just to make sure that it does sound okay. And it's true, a lot of them, you're like, well, that looks really slick, and it sounds really great, and they've got amazing jingles and music, and they all sound like total pros, and their artwork's amazing. Is this a small podcast? And then you start basing it on Twitter followers and things. But, yeah, I mean, it's really great getting that reaction when we put some of those smaller podcasts in the magazine, and then, as Stu said, people start sharing it online and saying thank you. And more people are then attracted to the magazine, and it's like a nice circle of podcast love.
Absolutely. It really is. I mean, you two are here as professional representatives of Pod Bible. I'm on Distraction Pieces as me, so I can be unprofessional and say, I'm also really pleased that we're mentioning the small podcast, because, like, on the last issue, we had one absolute bellend tweet us getting really arsy.
I knew he was going to be
unprofessional. You can be all professional.
It's the only time we've ever had anyone say anything, even slightly negative about the mag.
It was annoying because it was inaccurate. I used to have this with my lyrics all the time. If people didn't like any lyrics or didn't agree, it's fine. But when they'd misinterpreted or got it wrong, it'd be like, no. And this was it, because there was one guy saying, oh, they're only covering the big podcasts, and there's no space for us little ones. And again, it was beautiful that we can then go, no, from day one, we've had Oh My Pod. And even outside of that, there's smaller podcasts that cover. It's not just these big ones. But I think that part of it's become all the more important to all of us, because we're annoyed at one person for questioning our integrity.
You were more annoyed.
I was annoyed. Fuck that guy. No, I mean,
you were pretty annoyed, Stu.
He might be a nice guy.
You were clenching your fist.
I mean, I was annoyed until I got an ice lolly. Genuinely. It was a sunny day in Brighton. I was fired up until I got an ice lolly.
Like a child.
Stu was angry for like a week.
We were talking about it yesterday in Brighton, and Stu was still angry about it. We both agreed it was best that Pip dealt with that one.
But again, all joking aside, he's probably a lovely lad, and it can be. Like, his tweet or his annoyance there is what this podcast, or is what Pod Bible came from.
Yeah.
It was from our annoyance of how can we get our voice heard? How can we get in line with these bigger guys or whatever else? That's the reason it was when you were doing Off the Beaten Track, and that was going down amazingly, but, you know, you wanted to get more traction. You felt you had the guests and content that it deserved a far bigger audience than the audience already had. And that's what this came from. So although I'm joking about this guy, I completely understand it. It's what we've all had, and it's what birthed this whole idea.
How can I grow the listenership? And you do. You think, oh, I've just got him on this week. Like, I thought, like, that'd get like a really big listenership. And it's like, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah. So it was like, okay, so how do I get the word out there? And there was no press. There was nothing dedicated to showcasing new podcasts and recommending.
The great irony is that now all three of us are so self-conscious of putting anything of our own stuff in there. It's like, we don't. It's always like, that was the point of it, literally.
Yeah.
And now we've built a platform that only we can't use.
Yeah.
That everyone other than us can use.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's wrap things up there. You can obviously read all the previous episodes of Pod Bible Magazine at podbiblemag.com. We've had the cover stars and big interviews have been Adam Buxton, Richard Herring, Rosie and Chris Ramsey.
And Edith Bowman.
Mm-hmm. And we've also had loads of other, there's a smaller interview each week with people like Brett Goldstein and
Jade Adams.
Jade Adams is featured as a there's loads, there's tons of stuff in there.
Yeah,
so
all sorts of good stuff.
Give it all a look and subscribe to the Pod Bible podcast now and come to the Pod and Mix shows.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I think they're going to be incredibly exciting. Again, on the logistics side, we've been talking on if we can have wrestling intro music for each person and things like that. So it's just, there's a lot of fun to be had that stops it from being, oh, I'll just listen at home, I'll wait until it comes out and listen at home, to know it's going to be a proper live event that you can engage in and be part of, and yeah, it's worth being there.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
And there's
going
to be giveaways at your one, supposedly. you keep claiming it. So
John committed to giveaways. I'm like, hold on a minute, we've got to pay for all this stuff.
John on one episode was like, there will be prizes, there will be giveaways. Like, good luck, mate.
What we might give away is pen and paper so people in the audience can actually do the quiz during it. And maybe, you know, we'll see if somebody claims they got more points than the Tuesday Night Draw people, maybe we'll give them a prize or some sort. Maybe a selfie or something.
And I mean, on a personal note, I'll just apologise in advance for what the Hardcore Listing live show might offer. And I would also like to say the Distraction Pieces Network disassociates itself from any of Chris Glasson's actions on that evening.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, as said, I mean, we're all tagged in all the Pod Bible stuff regularly, but generally we're on the socials. Head to Pod Bible on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And other than that, we'll see you all. See you all about.
Nice one, Pip.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was a short one, but a bonus one. It went a bit longer than we expected, actually, but still a short bonus one. As said, we'd love to see you at King's Place on September 7th and 8th. Tickets are available from the King's Place website. Come on down. Join the party with us. Matt Richards has announced Ginny as one of the guests, WWE UK's Ginny, former Progress champion Ginny, I believe first ever Rev Pro women's champion Ginny, previous Tuesday Night Draw guest Ginny. She's amazing. So that's going to be great. So, yeah, grab your tickets now. It will be lovely to see you there. I'm going to go, kept this all brief. I've not even mentioned speechdevelopmentrecords.com or patreon.com/scroobiuspip, but I'll make sure I mention them on Wednesday's episode with the amazing Joe Gilgan. Thank you for tuning in. Actually, if you've listened to this and you're a wrestling fan and don't know, previous guests I've had on include Will Ospreay, Jack Gallagher, Eddie Dennis, Jim Smallman, Matt Richards, Chris Jericho. Almost forgot Chris Jericho. Jeez. And I've got Jack Sexsmith coming up very soon. I think that's everyone. I may have forgotten one along there. But yeah, thank you for tuning in. I'll see you on Wednesday. Ta-ta.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.